If you got your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and open to Paul's second letter to Timothy. And I want to speak to you this evening for a few moments on the importance of spiritual reminders. And if you guys know, I mean, the pastorals are just my favorite. I could live in especially 2 Timothy and Titus. And this is kind of coming on some things I've been doing in just my own devotional life over the last few months. But I just want to lay out from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 22. If we hadn't had Dr. Nelson with us this morning, I'd have done 1 through 13 this morning. But Ronnie only gave me one, so he said he wanted back next week. So I picked this one. But I want to talk a little bit about this idea of spiritual reminders. And I just think that it's good for us to think like that sometimes, that we need reminding of basic spiritual truth, that we would all acknowledge that it's not a new thought. We've heard it before, but there's just things that probably are difficult enough, or that our flesh is strong and active enough that we need to hear these things over and over. Just for a quick review, 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter, it's written from prison as he was awaiting and probably expecting execution. And it's to Timothy, who he refers to as his son in the faith. And there's a unique and close relationship between Paul and Timothy that's unlike any of the other men that followed Paul and that Paul would have discipled and trained. And these are, as his last letter, what we would conclude to be final instructions, final, last, very important things that he wants Timothy to know and to follow and to learn and to apply. In his immediate context would have been as a leader of the church at Ephesus, but also as the Holy Spirit works, also final instructions for us as well. And so far up in the first chapter of this and before our immediate passage, we see him giving Timothy just the encouragement and the instruction to continue to guard and to guard the gospel. That is a prevailing theme throughout 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, is that Paul understood this idea that the gospel could be easily corrupted and it could be easily lost or manipulated or softened or weakened, and it would be a challenge and attacked at all times. And so his instructions were always clear as he's writing to Titus and to Timothy, and it's to guard it. You know, he would say in 1 Timothy, O man of God, guard the entrustment or guard the deposit. And so he's told him that in chapter 1 to remember to guard it, to guard it with endurance. And then as he begins chapter 2, he gives three pretty clear, endearing illustrations of the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, as he compares it to Timothy's role and to believers' role in following God. And again, it is to, for each one of them, what he pulls out of those illustrations is to endure and to do the work for the gospel. Not to earn the gospel, but laboring because of it. And now we get to verse 14, and Paul's going to turn his instructions to Timothy about what he should tell the church. Right? What should he do? And we would take that by extension to mean us. And what he wanted Timothy to do was to remind the church at Ephesus of things that they had heard before and that they should have known and that they should be doing. And a lot of times with Christianity, isn't that the way it goes? We're reading along in our quiet time and it's like, well, I know this. I've heard this before. And we even kind of get that attitude sometimes and of teaching, like, well, you know, I've heard that before. You know, like, and our problem is that we equate hearing with knowing and doing. We equate being familiar with something with it being true in our lives and being lived out, and that's not always the case. Talk to anyone with children who get tired of saying the same thing a thousand times a day, that hearing is not the only component that we need, and it's true with us as well. The principle of reminders is really throughout the Scripture. When you go back and you think about the Old Testament, it was something that God really led Israel to do, that they would have some significant event in their history, something that God was going to do. And you remember what the Old Testament leaders would do? They would set up an altar, or they would build this stone altar, and they would give it a name that would be remembered and would be passed down, so that every time the next generations would hear that, there would be a story of something that God did. And it was a remembrance and reminding of God's faithfulness, whether it was and deliverance in many ways or some of these things. In the New Testament, we see commands given quite often about remembering the Lord. And Paul would give instructions for his teaching to be remembered. And before we look at the passage, I just want to give five quick reasons why reminders have value for our teaching. In other words, why it's good for us to have spiritual reminders in our lives as we kind of look into this. The first one is, makes sense, is that we just forget, right? We forget things. We forget things that we need to know, right? We forget things that we know are right and that we need to do, and God knows that. And so when he's appealing here to Timothy to remind this church, it wasn't anything that they hadn't heard before, but it was just that they needed to be reiterated. Secondly, we need reminders because another problem along with forgetting is that we can be by nature pretty lazy. And so we need the reminder that we can do this and that we're supposed to do this and to get up and to get going and to not settle for apathy and to not give in to laziness. A third reason that we need that we find value in reminders is that we all can at different times find ourselves more entwined with sin than we want to be. You know, there's probably no point for us guys trying to walk with the Lord that we don't need the reminder that to not deal with lust in an appropriate and quick manner has devastating consequences. I mean, we need that reminder all the time. And so because of sin and because of our propensity to find it, and even more so, if we really got honest, our propensity to choose it and seek it out, we need the reminders that the Scripture offers. Fourth, I would just say that spiritual reminders can also give us needed vitality and new energy. It can remind us of our focus, right? And so we, you know, whether it's holiness or faithfulness or marriage or whatever it is, those reminders can just reinvigorate us sometimes that in the course of life, things that we would all acknowledge in speaking verbally to one another that are important don't always have that same importance demonstrated in our daily decisions and choices. And so a reminder can remind us and give some energy and vitality into that. And then the fifth one that I would offer to you is just we need reminders because in the course of life, and I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who struggles with this, but it seems that sometimes the spiritual and the eternal has the easiest tendency to get bumped down the list of things that need to get done. I mean, we got life, and life's happening, and it's happening fast, and kids need this, and we have to do this, and jobs are going on, and all this, and things that we know are right, and things that we should be pursuing, all of a sudden just, well, I'll get to that later. And these reminders just can remind us to, okay, well, that's important. You need to be pursuing that even above some of these others. So I'm going to read the text to us tonight, and you can follow along. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 22. And then I just want to try to demonstrate quickly six reminders that Timothy gives the church. Chapter 2, verse 14. Remind them of these things. And charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened, and they are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And so as we start these, notice that as he gives this, he's telling Timothy, he says, remind them of these things. And then he says, and charge them before God. Right? And the reason I want to lay that as kind of the opening caveat in this, this isn't just Paul giving instructions to Timothy. This isn't just Paul looking at the church at Ephesus based on his reports and saying, you know, it'd probably be good if they heard these things. Or, you know, if you can get a few of them to follow this, that would be good. But, you know, we understand that these are hard things and most people aren't going to fight sin. And, you know, let's just, if we can get a handful to do it, great. Paul is saying that these things are of an importance. That when Timothy is to go into the church and make his case, he isn't to say, by the way, Paul wanted me to pass on a couple things to you. It was charge them essentially under the authority and in the presence of the Lord. And so these reminders carried some pretty heavy spiritual weight behind them. And so I think that we should see these as take them in the context they're in, certainly, but also see them as fairly important. Now, let me just say one quick thing about preaching a message like this and just generally about when we remind things in the lives, in our own lives and to others. When you preach a message about reminders, what the tendency, I think, is like, oh, yeah, that's good. And then we go, you know, someone probably really needed that reminder. It's like you preach a message on purity, and we kind of are like, you know, we're driving home from church, and we're like, you know, that impure person that was in front of us tonight, they needed that. I'm glad that was preached on. You preach a message on tithing, on modesty, and everyone thinks there's someone else that was really geared for. And we're really grateful that the Lord spoke that to someone, and they got to hear that. And so I would just encourage you tonight to let the Holy Spirit work. You may be one of these. You're the person. And I found that these were a lot more personal than I wanted them to be, working through them myself. Right? The first one in verse 14 is to remind them not to quarrel about words. Paul was not against argument. Right? Paul was not against engaging. He was not weak in any sense. He would stand for truth. But if there seems to be something that he would touch on a regular basis, it was this idea that quarreling purposely or without purpose was actually a detriment in the life of the church. And we get a little bit of a clue further on in the chapter about what possibly the nature of this divisive quarrel was. But I take this to be some kind of just meaningless argument. He says they do no good, and they actually hurt. And there's lots of reasons why we can get into and engage in arguments that have no real benefit. Sometimes it's just a distraction. If we can deal with this argument, it keeps us from making ourselves vulnerable or other things that really need to be dealt with in our life never get brought up. And so it kind of almost becomes a defense mechanism that we use to kind of keep people away. Sometimes it's just out of sheer arrogance. We think we know everything, and we want other people to realize just how much we know about something, and it leads to some kind of meaningless argument. And sometimes we even take that one a step further, and it's not just that we think we know so much, it's that we're actually, because of control or some other things, we actually can't handle it, that someone doesn't see how much we know, and they haven't changed their mind after listening to us. And so we will continue the argument. It just continues and continues. And Paul says, tell them not to do this, that it doesn't do any good, and it actually is hurtful. It says it ruins the hearers of it. I think this was probably some form of doctrinal disagreement. And I think what we have to always keep in mind is, you know, the tendency when you preach on something or you talk about this, the side that really feels like they've been validated is the one that never has a theological or doctrinal discussion. And see, they're like, see, there you go. It just divides and it's hurtful. See, you shouldn't even be talking with it. It's just a waste of time. Right? Well, that side's just as wrong. Right? What the Scripture calls us to is to think deeply about God, to think about His Word, to pursue Him and to know Him, including what He teaches us prescriptively and doctrinally about His Word. But we also have to realize that beyond the essentials, there's going to be things that we find ourselves disagreeing on. And when I say the essentials, I would say those things that relate to the nature and the character of God and on what it means to be saved. Right? But other things, there's just going to be ways that we differ. There's going to be different interpretations. There's going to be different understandings.